The reading from Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their name on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
Thank you, Liz. Let's pray as we come to that part of God's word. Our Father, we pray that please you might be our instructor and our helper to understand what these words mean and to live in the light of them, rejoicing in you. So speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was just 50 days after the first Easter that Peter stood up in Jerusalem and preached to the great crowds that were gathered there at the Feast of Pentecost. And it was really the first Easter sermon. He was trying to help people understand what all of that meant, the sufferings and death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. And here is what Peter had to say on that day. This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And then Peter goes straight into quoting that psalm that we've just heard, Psalm 16. And he quotes these words, originally written by King David 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus, but words that he says point towards Jesus. In particular, what he's interested in is that line in verse 10 there, at the top of the second page of your handouts, verse 10, you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. Peter is seeing there a great prophecy of Jesus, that God would not leave him in the grave, but rather would raise him up. But what's so interesting is that Peter doesn't just zero in on that little phrase and quote just that little bit. What he actually does is he says that verses 8 to 11, they all speak about Jesus. They are all, in fact, Jesus' words. He wants us to hear verses 8 to 11 as the voice of Jesus. Let's hear it again. Verse 8, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. All of that, Peter says, is Jesus speaking. These are his words. This was his experience. And so what we're going to do this morning is think about that idea, that Psalm 16 is all about Jesus, and they are all his words. As we do that, we're going to see some wonderful things for us, words that will encourage us and strengthen us, I trust. So let's think, what happens if we hear all of Psalm 16, not in the voice of David, but in the voice of Jesus. Well, the first thing we see is the beauty of Jesus' earthly life. Just come back to the start of the psalm. It is a psalm of great delight and trust in the Lord. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. And then a delight in the Lord. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Here is one who knows that God is the most faithful and dependable and loving and generous and constant relationship he has. Everything else pales into in comparison because the Lord is his. There is no other good that you could put in the same bracket. You could compare to the goodness of knowing God. He is in love with the Lord and leaning on him. And so he delights in everything that the Lord delights in. You see it there in verse 3. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Jesus is saying, I love you and I love the ones that you love. I am with them and I love them because you love them. And verse 4, then I am against everything that you're against. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their name on my lips. You see, he loves the Lord. He loves everyone the Lord loves. And he will not even speak of those who worship other gods. He will not name those gods because God is his only focus, his only hope, his whole portion. Verse 5, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. And as we hear these words, we don't just hear Jesus delighting in the Father, in God. We hear how God protects and loves and provides for Jesus. You make my lot secure, verse 5. Verse 6, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. The Lord counsels him. He's at his right hand. So in everything, he is for the Lord and the Lord is for him. There is this delighting in the Lord and the Lord providing for him. It is a beautiful picture of the life that the Lord Jesus lived, the life that every human being ought to live, delighting in the Lord. And so his reward is before him. Do you see that there in verse 9? My heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. Jesus is truly, perfectly faithful to God, and so God will be faithful to him, and he will be granted this eternal life. See how it's described in verse 11. You will make known to me the path of life. You will not leave me in the grave, but you will lead me up back into the light, back into life. Verse 11, you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. It's a verse that just piles up this sense of the joy set before Jesus, that hope of eternal life. What is it like? A life of joy, but not just some joys. He will be filled with joy in God's presence. Not just filled with joys, but filled with everlasting joys, with eternal pleasures. And these are pleasures that could never be taken away. They are at God's right hand. They are right at his hand. No one is going to take them away. They will last forever. They will be his forever. So Peter teaches us to read this psalm hearing Jesus, seeing his life, this life of perfect, wonderful faithfulness that God will reward with raising his faithful one from the dead and taking him into eternal joys. But how then do we hear that psalm this morning? What does that mean for us as we hear this life of undiluted faithfulness and love towards God? What do we do when we recognize that our eyes are not always on the Lord? This is not the kind of life that we have lived. We run after other gods. We seek pleasure and we seek protection in all sorts of other things. We have not lived this sort of life. So what do we do? The temptation might be to think, well, we just need to try and scrape through and just try our hardest. What most people imagine Christianity is about, just somehow making the grade, being slightly above average, and then maybe, just maybe, we would have the hope of those eternal joys. But actually what the gospel wonderfully teaches us is something much richer than that, isn't it? It teaches us the wonder of being united to Jesus, that those who put their trust in him are so united to him that the life that he lived is credited to us, that we are clothed in him, that we are found in him, that we are united to him. What I'd love for us to do for a couple of minutes this morning is just to feel that going around our shoulders as we think about being clothed in Christ. Just imagine that that is what has happened to you. It is. If you are a believer in Christ, you are clothed in Christ's righteousness. His perfect life is given to you. And so that as God looks at you this morning, he says that you are one whose eyes have always been on him, that you have been faithful to him, that you have always delighted in him, that you were able to join the Lord Jesus in saying, you are my Lord, apart from you I have no good thing. It's wondrous to think of. In all of the ways that we recognize we fall short of that and we struggle with that, and in the day or in the night, our thoughts run to anxious thoughts and to fear and to doubt and to sin. It is wonderful to know that by faith we are united with Christ. We are clothed in him. And so we can be as confident of that eternal life as Jesus was. Clothed in him, there is no doubt that he will not abandon us to the grave, but he will raise us up as well. That eternal life that the Lord Jesus has been raised to will be ours. God will make known to us the paths of life. He will fill us with joys in his presence, with eternal pleasures at his right hand. Take a moment to reflect. Our Father, what joy it is to think of these words spoken by Jesus, to know that far more than David ever lived this out, the Lord Jesus lived this life perfectly, delighting in you, loving you always, his eyes always on you. Father, what hope there is then for us, knowing that that's not how we live. We fail to live up to this. But wonderfully, we can be clothed in your Son. We can be united to him, so that when you see us, our lives are no less perfect than his, that we are seen in your eyes as no less faithful than him. And so we can be confident that in him we will be raised, that we will know that path to life. Father, how we praise you for that thought. However dark our days are just now, however difficult life feels, however dark the evil that we find in the world or in ourselves, Father, how we praise you that by faith in Christ we can be found in him and raised with him to be filled with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Amen.